some of you who have experienced abuse through the gifts. And for that, I apologize as someone in the ministry. Whatever was said that was inappropriate, that was wrong. And I've heard some atrocious stories throughout my walk with the Lord on this. But here's the thing. I even had a professor in school. And as I was, you know, we were coming up here at Grace, and I started was just talking with him on some of the things I was learning, and he was actually trying to shut a lot of that down. But as I engaged him more, I found, because I got born again in the charismatic movement. I'm like, well, what happened? See, our tendency is as we get burned in something, we do a pendulum swing to the complete opposite end of it. I got burned in the charismatic movement, so you know what? I'm just going to stay away from all of it. Well, that's not biblical either. Paul says, I want you to be informed. And we need to understand in our minds, part of healing is understanding that the problem isn't the good gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. The problem is what's in us and how we use those gifts sometimes. And so we need to make that distinction. But we should study to get the gifts to know how to use them and what they're for. One big question we always come into is, are the gifts for today? And here's what happened at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes, everyone gets filled with the Holy Spirit, they all start speaking in tongues. Everybody says, they're drunk. Well, Peter gets up, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, no, they're not drunk. This is to fulfill what the prophet Joel spoke, that in the last days, your sons and daughters would prophesy. And people who believe that the gifts aren't for today say, the gifts were just for the early church. They've ceased. Well, if that's true, then Joel and Peter got it wrong, and those really weren't the last days. They were the next to last days. But these aren't the last days either, because Scripture tells us that the last days would be marked with prophecy. People moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But what typically people who say that the gifts have ceased for the day, their biggest stance is on this verse right here in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. A lot of times people say, well, we have the whole counsel of God. The Bible's finished being writing. There's no more place for the gift of prophecy. But here's the standard Paul is talking about here. He talks about when the perfect comes. Have we arrived in the perfect yet? And here's how he describes what the perfect looks like. Now we see in a mirror, but then face to face. Do we see face to face now? Or are we still seeing through a mirror dimly? Do we know fully even as we are fully known? I think the answer is no, we don't. We still need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We still need gifts like prophecy today to help us, because we see as through a mirror dimly, because we don't know fully, because we only know in part right now. But if this is true, that all we need is just the whole Word of God, we have no place for the gifts, they're done away with now, what we're actually saying is we have greater revelation than Paul does. We have greater understanding than the Apostle Paul does. Remember, this is Paul who was taken up into the third heaven and received revelation so great you couldn't even speak about it. We contend that the gifts are still needed today so that we can see with greater clarity. But not only this, but here in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, when Christ ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip saints for work of ministry. Does anybody here still need equipping? Anyone? Anyone? Does the body of Christ still need to be built up? Yes. Have we reached unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God? No. Have we come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? No. We need these gifts that Christ gave out when he ascended, because we're still growing. We're still becoming more like Jesus. We're still coming into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We still need to be built up. We still need to be equipped. So we need the gifts that Christ gave the church, because that's what they do. I can't believe it was almost a year ago, I was thinking about this, but Mark Murphy came and taught our hermeneutics course. But We have a long history with Mark, and he was actually so helpful to me just in formulating a lot of these thoughts years ago. But I'm the type of guy to where hopefully I've grown in some wisdom. But if there's a project around the house and requires a tool that I don't have in the past, I've just said, you know what, I've got these other tools. I'll just try and make them work and figure something out, rig something up. Usually what I end up doing is breaking the tools I do have, or worse, breaking the project that I was trying to fix. I end up spending more money to get the thing hauled off to a professional so they can fix it. And I've learned it's just simpler. Just go find out what tool you need and go get that tool. That's so much wisdom, and there's been so much more peace in my life since I've learned that. But here's what Mark said to me. He said, God has given us a job to do, to equip the saints, to build up the body. And God's given us tools to do it with, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The fact is, if we're not willing to use the gifts that he's given, we're not going to get the job done. We need the gifts for today. So the gift of prophecy. Paul says this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Which, by the way, some of these verses, if you don't believe the gifts are for today, you can just toss them right out of your Bible, like this one here. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. When we talk about prophecy, some people get hung up because there is actually a distinction between the Old Testament, the office of the prophet, and the New Testament, the gift of prophecy. Those aren't the same thing. And here's why. In the Old Testament, the prophets, capital P, spoke the very words of God. They would say, thus saith the Lord, open quote, and everything that they said after that was as if God himself were speaking to you verbatim, word for word, precisely. In the New Testament, that authority isn't carried by those who are given the gift of prophecy. It's carried by the apostles. You notice that they said that they didn't devote themselves to the prophetic words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Even Peter, in 2 Peter 3, he endorses Paul's writings as scripture. So what do we do with this? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is writing, and he says that the church is like a building and is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The apostles, and Wayne Grudem touches on this. He goes, that can be read like the church is built on the foundation of the apostles hyphen prophets, or the apostles who are the prophets. In other words, both the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles carry the same authority for writing the very words of God, which are the foundation of the church. And cessationists are right. This is finished. This is complete. This is perfect. We have no need to add to this foundation. But like every building will reflect its foundation. Every building will be judged by its foundation. So this building, if there's any difference in leveling, the whole building goes with it, off its foundation. This building can only be built so high, long, and wide because of its foundation. But the whole building is judged. So here's the thing. If this is the foundation of my life, it's going to judge every part of my life. How I treat my wife, how I raise my kids, how I work, how I spend my money, how I spend my time, and even the words that come out of my mouth. If this is my foundation, this will judge the words that come out of my mouth. If this is my foundation, this will determine the words that come out of my mouth. The Word of God is our foundation. So when we move in the gift of prophecy, we're not adding to the foundation. We're reflecting it. We're coming into alignment with it. It's being judged by our foundation. And the apostle or the prophets looked forward to point to who Jesus was, and the apostles explained how Jesus fulfilled all those things. But we see this in Acts. Paul is in Tyre, and he's on his way to Jerusalem. It says that the people there, the church that he was ministering to, they said, through the Holy Spirit, they warned Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. There's going to be trouble for you there. But what does Paul do? Goes right on ahead to Jerusalem. If the New Testament gift of prophecy carried the same weight as the Old Testament, Paul just disobeyed the Word of God. Or something else is going on. And then a little while later, there's a prophet named Agabus, and he comes to the meeting, and he takes Paul's belt, and he binds his hands and his feet, and it says, in the same way, The owner of this belt is going to be taken captive by the Jewish leaders and handed over to the Gentiles. And Paul still continues to go on to Jerusalem. But not only that, according to Old Testament standards of prophecy, Agabus goes way off, because that's not what happened precisely. Paul was actually preaching. The Jews got mad at him and were about to kill him. The Romans stepped in and said, hey, we want peace. Let's get Paul out of here. So it wasn't exactly like Agabus said. But what are we to do? What are we to do with this distinction? And here's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. And if the gift of prophecy and the office of the Old Testament prophet were exactly the same, we should be able to apply this to, say, like Isaiah. Hey, go read the book of Isaiah, but test it. Take the good stuff out of there and reject the evil. That doesn't work when we're considering the script, the Word of God. But if we're talking about the gift of prophecy, that makes a lot more sense. Because here's the thing. Anybody ever have your emotions cloud your judgment? Right? These people loved Paul. He brought the gospel to them. He was like a father to them. And this is just my take on it. My speculation, but you can imagine like how grieved they were having to deliver this word. Paul, there's going to be trouble for you in Jerusalem. Don't go. Paul is an apostle. From the day of his conversion, Jesus said to Ananias, he said, I'm going to show him the things he must suffer for my name. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of an apostle. I'm looking to make up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Paul had already understood where this road was going to take him. And so you can look at it as the Holy Spirit saying, don't go to Jerusalem, or the Holy Spirit is saying, Paul, there's going to be trouble. Gird your mind. Gird your heart. Give yourself to prayer. Build up your faith. And so, but there's this sifting that goes on. There's this testing. There's not every word given by a person ministering in the gift of prophecy, every part of it is precise. You, having the Holy Spirit within yourself, are responsible to test and to judge and to sift and to hold on to what is good and reject everything that's not necessarily the Lord. Even in my preaching, like I do my very best to prepare and deliver just what I think is precisely, purely what the Word of God is saying, but the reality is I'm a 21st century man living in America preaching from a book that was written 2,000 years ago in the Middle East. Some of me and my experiences and my way of thinking are going to seep through. You need to test. You need to sift. You need to hold on to what is good and reject the things that are just Aaron. We had years ago, my wife and I was leading worship at the time, but my wife and I, we were receiving ministry from some of our Salt and Light family. And there are these two men that came to minister and pray over us, and one was an older man, had a very strong prophetic gifting. The other one was younger and had more of a teaching gift. But the older man with the prophetic gifting, he begins to pray over us, and we knew him, we trusted him, solid guy. And as he begins to prophesy, okay. Ever hear somebody try and say something nice and it just doesn't bear weight a lot of times? You're like, thanks, I appreciate it. This younger guy had the teaching gift, began to minister in the gift of prophecy, and it was like a sword going through our hearts. We're like, oh my goodness, that bears witness with us. This is the word of the Lord to us. And then the older man came back and he began to prophesy again, and again it was like a sword this time. Going right through our hearts, like, thank you, God. Thank you for these words that you're giving to us right now. And then the younger man came back, and he went to prophesy. And again, it was like, okay, thank you. That was nice. And we were so confused. We were so, like wait, were they prophesying accurately, or were they not? Because they both had a record of both kind of missing it and kind of hitting it at the same time. Like, we didn't know what to do with this. And so we wrestled with it, and then we went to our pastor, Brian McCray, and we said, help us with this, because I don't want to just toss away anything that God might actually be speaking. And see, that's the work that we have to do with prophetic words. That's the work we have to do even with teachings. We have to sift through these things sometimes. That's why I hate when people ask, who do you listen to? Like, I don't really accept anybody fully. I sift. There are things I'm like, man, I love the way this guy preaches that. I love the way this guy preaches this over here. I sift. We're responsible for that. We all have the Holy Spirit. So the gift of prophecy is for today. It doesn't carry the same authority as the office of the Old Testament prophets. In fact, Paul instructs us to sift and judge prophetic utterances. Well, what is the gift of prophecy? Prophecy, very simply, is sharing something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. And it's important that we make this distinction because, again, I grew up in a culture where the prophets were the preachers, and that was it. If you weren't a preacher, you weren't a prophet, or the only time there's prophecy was when somebody was preaching to you, but that's not what we see in Scripture at all. But it's, in fact, even with preaching here, there are prophetic dynamics to this as I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead me as I prepare, but I have notes here, and almost nothing of any message is ever spontaneous because it's all like I've taken time to prepare, to think these things out and give practical application. Prophecy is more like stream of consciousness. In fact, if you look at those giftings in Ephesians chapter 4, there's a lot of tension there. Because pastors, shepherds are trying to gather, and evangelists are like, everybody get out of here and go witness, right? Or teachers are like, we like very nice, neatly organized outlines, and prophetic people are just sort of moving with how the Spirit moves in the moment. Both are needed. Both are so valuable. But it's more of a in the moment as the Spirit is moving. So one morning, I remember getting up. I wasn't thinking about a certain individual. I just went to go have my quiet time. I opened up my Bible. The very first verse I read, the Lord brought somebody to mind and said, this is for them. And I didn't go to him with a three-point outline and huge exposition over what this passage means in its original context. It was like, this is a word for you from the Lord. Period. Done. Spontaneous moments like that. And all of us probably have moments where we... You know, maybe you got up that day and somebody you hadn't thought about for a while just was on your mind. They're just on your mind and on. You couldn't shake them. Finally, you decide, maybe I should give them a call. The next thing you know, you step right into a moment where the Holy Spirit wants to use you to speak and to minister. Or maybe as you're trying to encourage somebody or comfort them or give them direction as they're seeking help for whatever situation in their life, suddenly a verse comes to mind. It wasn't a verse that you read that week, nothing that you've been studying. In fact, you may have been like, I didn't even realize I knew that verse. Like it just came to me. Right? It's these spontaneous moments that the gift of prophecy works through. And so prophecy is hearing from the Spirit and as He leads, sharing what He said. In fact, I heard years ago, I was listening to a radio preacher, and he's teaching on a point completely separate from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But he actually starts reading this in part of his message. He reads the account about this prophet Agabus. But then he stops and he lets his hearers know. He goes, now this was just a gift for the early church. We don't need that anymore. We have the whole counsel of God. I was more interested in his larger point, so okay, whatever. We disagree. Roll off my back. No problem. But then just a few minutes later, he gives this illustration. He says, we were at a crossroads in our ministry, and we didn't know what we should do. So we prayed, and we felt like God was leading us in this direction. And I just started chuckling. I'm like, oh, that's what we call the gift of prophecy. Like even cessationists can prophesy. It's amazing. The gifts of God are irrevocable. Listen, It's no more complicated than that. We get kind of hung up sometimes about the gift of prophecy because we have this Hollywood image, right? Like a gust of wind's going to blow through the place and in the back is going to stand Gandalf or the seer coming down from the mountain to deliver the oracle of God. Now, I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to share this. That's it. Nothing spooky, nothing weird, nothing crazy. Just a vibrant, dynamic, living relationship with the Holy Spirit. He wants to comfort His people in the in-between time. So what is the goal of the gift of prophecy? Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, follow the way of love and eager desire, the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their, say it with me, strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. We'll get to that later. But I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets. Say it with me. So that the church may be edified. You know how you know if somebody needs encouragement? They're breathing. This is, you know, this, again, this is part of the reason why it's not about numbers. It's not about I need a crowd to speak to. This is why it's so important that you're here or in the gathering, because you need encouragement. You need strengthening. You're going through a battle. You need comfort. We all need to be edified and built up. And the whole context of 12, 13, and 14 is as you gather together. It's not about me. It's going to be helpful, encouraging, comforting, strengthening, edifying for you. Because it's expected that the gift of prophecy would be in operation. And this does away with the whole idea that the gifts of the Spirit are divisive or messy. No, they're not. They comfort, they encourage, they build up, they strengthen. It's when we use them to encourage, build up, strengthen, and encourage ourselves that things get messy and divisive. But when it's about serving the body, they're not messy or divisive at all. They're helpful. Some people ask, well, how do I know if it's a false prophecy? Does it strengthen you? Does it encourage you? Does it comfort you? Does it build you up? Does it edify you? Does it cause you to say, I want to pursue the knowledge of God more? Does it cause you to say, I want to have greater faith and trust in God? Does it cause you to be strengthened and know that, hey, God is with me in this moment? Does it drive you towards God? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It should highlight to say, I want more of the testimony of Jesus in my life. I want to see him in a greater way. Does it cause your heart to come alive in love and desire for him? That's how you know. Not only that, I mean, if Paul's saying all this, this alone should cause us to say, we just want the gift of prophecy active. He says this, if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Like that alone should say, hey, we should have more prophecy in our midst here because something's going to happen. Paul's expectation is as people are prophesying, unbelievers in our midst are going to be like, God is here. Unbelievers are going to say, God is here because of the gifts in practice in the church. Who can prophesy? Well, if prophecy is first hearing and then sharing, then anyone who can hear can prophesy. And who can hear? My sheep. His sheep. His sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Like this does away with any of the pride of any platform ministry or any internationally renowned prophetic speaker. Like you're just a sheep, man. We're all just sheep. We're all, like, we don't really know where we're going. We don't really know what the Spirit's going to do next. We're all just trying to listen. We're all just trying to hear. Just trying to do the best we can to hear what the shepherd is saying, and then out of service and love and humility towards the body to see the rest of the sheep get there, we just share it. Hey, I hear him saying this. Come on. There's no place for this, thus saith the Lord, I am the prophet of God. You're a sheep. I'm a sheep. Constantly, scripture is talking about how we're blind, deaf, hard of understanding. We lack wisdom. We lack power. We're all just sheep, and we're all just trying to hear, and it's out of love and concern and service to the body, carrying the shepherd's heart for the other sheep that we speak. That's why the gifts aren't divisive or messy. That's why the church needs them. What are you hearing? What is the shepherd saying? A.W. Tozer says this. He says, the word of the Lord is always going forth. The question isn't, is he speaking, but are we listening? We are in desperate need of the gift of prophecy to be active in our midst. And I've highlighted a number of times here, kids, like there's no junior Holy Spirit. There's a place for all of us to participate in this. My wife, one of the things we enjoyed about homeschooling was the fact that we got to see all the different ways. We had a bunch of kids. We got to see six different ways that they all understood things or grasped things or approached the different ways of problem solving and thinking. And one day my wife was trying to teach one of our children a math principle and with this problem, and she tried like 8 different ways to say you could approach this problem, and the child just wasn't getting any of it. And my wife, she wasn't being flippant at all. She was a little frustrated, but she wasn't being flippant. She goes, the only thing I can tell you is go talk to Jesus and ask him for help about how to solve this problem. The child went away to their bedroom and came out with it solved. Kids, Jesus will help you with your math. He will, and it's not cheating. It's not cheating. You do have to study, but it's not cheating. But Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, will speak to you because we ask. And there's no limitations. You don't have to have any type of Bible degree. You don't have to have walked with God for 30 years. I'm just a sheep. I'm amazed at how, over and over, how God speaks to us individually just the way we personally can understand it and get it. Isn't that amazing? Like, he's not left us alone. He's not like, until you can grasp all the deep, profound theological concepts in this book, then come talk to me. I know you're a sheep. I'm mindful of your frame. That's but dust. I'm going to get through to you. And then the amazing thing is when you share what I've gotten through to you and you share it in your simplicity, what he does, it's like loaves and fish. It just gets multiplied out. It's so powerful. It's so glorious. He's so generous. All right, so how do I grow in the gift of prophecy? First, let me just start just with some clarification. If you're new here, we'll explain some of our heart in this. We have this microphone up here, and we always just refer to it as the prophecy mic. And again, Paul's context in 1 Corinthians 12-14 is as you gather together. The microphone isn't anointed or anything special. It's just so we all can hear you. But Paul also says there must be order. There needs to be order in the service. So, no, we don't permit you to just stand up at any time and just begin to prophesy, thus saith the Lord. That's out of place. We do have men who lead the meeting, like Josh did this morning. And we fully expect and anticipate that there are going to be gifts of prophetic utterances that are going to come forward as we worship, as we gather together. And so our way of keeping order is just go see the guy who did the call to worship that Sunday. Just go see them and say, hey, I feel like I have this from the Lord. And they'll make sure there's time to work you in. 99.9% of the time, we're all just excited that, hey, somebody's feeling stirred. Somebody wants to step out in faith. Somebody wants to exercise the gift. We want to leave those doors open. And then there's that 0.1% of the time that just... Sometimes, here we go, okay. Jack Hayford, he says this, prophetic words may be doctrinally correct. Thank you, Nicholas. Here's the thing. This is from Jack Hayford. I think this is so helpful. Prophetic words can be doctrinally correct, yet out of place because they're ill-timed, or they are words to the individual rather than the entire group. Ever be maybe in that prayer meeting where we're like crying out for revival over Tocoa, and somebody just interrupts it with, and I want to pray for my granny's dog. Right? And the problem isn't that we don't have a heart for your granny's dog. The problem is, what is the person of the Holy Spirit speaking and doing and leading in that moment? And there's been plenty of times where we've had moments where it's rejoicing and celebrating and the Holy Spirit is just moving in that direction. And it would be out of place for somebody to say, I didn't want to give a call to repentance for abortion in the land. We are all on board with that, but the Holy Spirit in the moment takes priority, and we're all just sheep, and we're just trying to hear, Holy Spirit, what are you doing right now? That's something for all of us, because we all need to, in those prayer meetings, in those times of worship, we all need to practice listening like that. Holy Spirit, what are you doing right now?
And so that 0.1% of the time is that we have to say no. It's a lot more like that. It's just sometimes I've had people come, like, we've stopped worshiping, the person's praying, like, I have a word, I need to give it right now. Well, we've just finished. There's going to be another set at the end. You can share it there. But it's not about whether or not you have the gift of prophecy or you brought a false word. Most of the time, it's just about timing. So if you're feeling stirred, get up and give the word. Because, you know, sometimes you wait too late and then it's just kind of missed. But it also does keep the crazy out. That's why God put government over the church, to help protect from the loopy stuff we get sometimes. So years ago, I wasn't leading worship. We had somebody else. I mean, I was the worship leader, but somebody else was leading that Sunday. The chairs were set up like in rows or in three sections. There's the worship leader, and then the front row was his wife, and right behind him or her was his mother-in-law. And we're just worshiping, and all of a sudden, we just hear this woman's voice coming through the speaker. And so first of all, I just kind of threw the room in chaos for a moment as we're trying to figure out who's talking, what's going on. And then we noticed that at the time we had a corded mic, the cord was running up over that first row, and it was the mother-in-law sharing. We found out later she just told her daughter-in-law, go get the microphone. And you don't argue with your mother-in-law, so she just went and did that. But she bypassed that whole system of having things checked with the person leading the meeting. And then she just began to speak about how she'd been reading through this book of the Bible, and she'd read it through 10 times and reached the 10th level of understanding. And she's hoping she can read it 5 more times and reach the 15th level of understanding. And all of us are going, what are you talking about? And all that would have been avoided if she had just gone through the person leading the meeting. It just helps. It's not about us trying to quench the spirit. It's not about us judging necessarily, you have the gift, you don't have the gift, you're in error, anything. It's just, it helps. It's a buffer for that. That's all. And Paul speaks of this so that there's order in the service and so that we don't stray into loopy stuff. So that's how we do things here with the gift of prophecy, how we work it into our meetings. But how do we grow in the gift of the Holy Spirit? The first of this is, you can earnestly desire it. It's okay to earnestly desire. That phrase is actually desire with great desire. It's okay. You can want the gift of prophecy. You can really want the gift of prophecy. Does anybody want to hear God with greater clarity? Does anybody want to be more responsive in obedience to what he said? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Does anybody want more of that, whatever that means in their life? Amen. Like, you can actually pray. There's no spiritual pride. There's no spiritual shame in saying, God, I desire the gift of prophecy, that it would grow and it would increase and intensify in my life. I desire to have greater clarity to what you're saying. This is what Paul is telling us. Follow the way of love, serve the body, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you prophesy, because the church is built up and edified and strengthened in that. And this point of earnestly desiring, it does away with bumper sticker theology. Like, you can eagerly desire or you can seek not, forbid not, but you can't do both. And for me, I'm going to err with Paul. I'm going to eagerly desire. If we're going to go too far in this thing, we're going to go too far in earnestly desiring. The Holy Spirit will correct us if we get carried away with earnestly desiring prophecy too much. Or there's other statements like this, like seek his face and not his hand. Both of these statements aren't in the Bible, by the way. But what is in the Bible is eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Like, all of a sudden you're like, how did this ever get into our thinking in churches? Like, this is holy, this is rational, this is balanced. There's nothing balanced about eagerly desiring. It's, God, we want to hear your voice. We want to be used by you to build up the body, to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. We desire that the testimony of Jesus would increase and intensify in our midst. We earnestly desire the gifts. We earnestly desire the gift of prophecy. But if this is all new to you, you can just prophecy, the gift of prophecy, it's for the encouragement. So start with encouraging. Start just trying to be encouraging to people. strengthen them, build them up, encourage them in their faith and their walk with the Lord and their pursuit of Him. Scripture tells us this, speak only those things which are useful for building others up. You don't have to get all weird about it. Thus saith the Lord, I have a prophecy. Hey, man, I see your heart in that, and I just want to bless that. Keep going after the Lord. I want to encourage you in that. I want to do everything I can to fan that flame in your life. If this is all new to you, start with Scripture. Like, it's not the devil that's bringing Scripture to your mind to share with somebody. It might be weird synaptic firings of your brain, but it's not the devil. Like, God says, my word will never return void. So even if it's a verse that doesn't really mean anything to somebody, Holy Spirit gets a hold of it and He does a work with it. That's the whole point anyway. There's no power in you in saying the right verse at the right time. God, I'm just here and I want to be available and useful to you for the building up, the strengthening, the encouraging, the equipping of this person. So use me. Pay attention as we pray for people, as we seek the Lord for these things, pay attention to images and pictures that come to mind. Sometimes I've got a streak of ADD, and so a lot of times, this is a struggle for me, I'll get a picture, I'm just, my mind's just drifting. I got a word one time about a stream flowing, and it had a top hat floating on the top of it. What? But then they went on. I said, Aaron, the Holy Spirit's moving, but He's a gentleman. And you have to invite Him in. So even these weird pictures sometimes, right? Pay attention to those things. If we believe He's speaking and He wants to encourage, strengthen, comfort, build up the body, then like, here I am. I'll take a chance. One of the things Brian instilled in us as we were coming up under him is like, we're not after perfection, we're after growth. Like, this requires a step of faith on our part. Like, okay, I showed up and here's what I got. I'm gonna take a risk. And you know what, the great thing about what I love about this body is, if it's a picture that really wasn't prophetic, okay, man, we're just excited you tried. We're just excited you stepped out. Do that again. Do that again. Let's learn together how to hear the Lord better. Pay attention to dreams. Write them down. If you're not sure, gather some trusted friends who will pray with you through the dream, over the dreams. And God, are you saying something here? We're just asking. We're just trusting that your sheep will hear your voice, and so we're asking, Lord, you've obviously maybe are trying to say something. I feel this heavy enough on this dream in particular that you want to say something, so I'm even going to submit it to other people and have other believers have their input on. Are you sensing anything? Are you seeing anything in this? He wants to speak. So the worship team come forward. And we just say start in small settings. As well. Right, there's safe places. Like, you know, at the close of our services, we like to open up time of prayer for individuals. That's a great time to give a scripture as you're praying. If you get an image, share something for encouragement. That's why we have prayer for each other in home groups, in these small settings where it's easy to practice and it's not very threatening. So this, but it requires us to take action. It requires us, as we gather on Sunday mornings, as we're coming in, to say, Holy Spirit, I believe you want to encourage or strengthen the body today. Would you give me something? And then taking his chance. Like I said, you got a 99.9% chance of approval. As we come into our home groups together, Holy Spirit, I believe you want to edify and build up and strengthen and comfort these people. Would you give me something for somebody in this group? Scripture verse. Holy Spirit, as I'm about to meet with this person, have coffee with them, would you give me something to encourage and strengthen and build them up with? And that's how we just open the doors and let the Holy Spirit come and do His thing. And we create space for Him to work and invite Him in. Let's stand together. Let me just ask this. Is there anyone who would like prayer this morning for anything at all? If you would just raise your hand, we could pray over any stronghold in your life, any situation that you might be dealing with. It could be any area we need a breakthrough.